passage this morning comes from Matthew chapter 14. It turns out it's one of the more stinging responses of Jesus, and I find it oddly comforting. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they came to him as a crowd, a man came up and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic, and he suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. I focus less on him curing the child than on his remark, "O faithless and perverse generation, how much longer do I have to put up with you?" Makes him sound oddly like people who know us, people we know, people we work with. How long do I have to put up with this? People who work with us, how long do they have to put up with me? People we live with over the years may have thought, how much longer does this have to go on in this way? Kind of intriguing, isn't it? Makes Jesus sound oddly like a Cub fan, doesn't it? How much longer do we have to put up with a team that never wins? They last won the World Series in 1909. It's 103 years later. They last were in the World Series in 1945, 67 years later, yet the rallying cry of every Cub fan is, "Wait till next year. Nobody beats us 104 years in a row. Wait till next year. One more time." Aaron Sorkin is a well-known, widely awarded screenwriter and television producer. He's responsible for the TV show The West Wing that was on a few years ago. He wrote the screenplay for the movie A Few Good Men, The Social Network, Moneyball, Cocaine Addict, now in recovery. Aaron Sorkin, in the last month or so, gave the commencement address to his alma mater, Syracuse University. And among other things, he said this: "How you live matters. You're going to fall down. But the world doesn't care how many times you fall down as long as it's one fewer than the number of times you get back up." How long must I put up with this? Well, one more time. Must they put up with us? Must we put up with them? Where do we find the wit, the will, and the strength amid the circumstances of ordinary days, or when ordinary days become extraordinarily difficult, to say one more time? Well, I think it helps to remember that failing and falling are first of all part of climbing the learning curve. As we talked a moment ago, you fall off the bike the first time you try it, and yet you learn and go further the next time. We've all heard it. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Because by doing it badly, you do it better the next time, and better the next time until it becomes worth doing and doing well. I find that oddly comforting. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Because we climb the learning curve. Look at it this way. You only have to try a two-wheeled bicycle for the first time once. You only have to try giving a speech in public for the first time once. You only have to try living through the first Christmas without him, her first birthday without her, once. And then one more time, it becomes easier. And over time, we climb the learning curve, we develop coping skills, and we begin to say, "I can do this one more time. I can try again." It's also useful to know, secondly, that in addition to climbing the learning curve, finding the wit and the will to say one more time helps, because occasionally the long shot comes in. Casino operators know this. In order to get somebody to continue doing what you want them to do, you reward them for it, but not every time. You reward them for it now and then. If you reward someone for doing something every time, they'll get bored. If you never reward them, they give up. But you reward them once in a while, like the slot machine, and they'll keep at it. Well, occasionally, even among difficult circumstances, things work out. And all it has to do is happen from time to time, and we live with hope. Even the long shot hope. A diagnosis comes in where the odds are not good. Often as not, more often than not, the ultimate outcome is what is expected. But I have said this to people in hospitals and in their homes and in churches numerous times. There's not a reason in the world at the moment to think you won't be the one that beats the odds. Because occasionally we do, if not in this, in other things. And because occasionally the long shot wins, because occasionally we beat the odds, we live with more hope, and out of that sense of hope, we give it one more shot. We have the energy, the wit, and the will to say, one more time, I will deal with this and put up with it. We climb a learning curve, we live with hope, and we remember at the end of the day that any circumstance is not ultimately about plot or outcome. It's about character. I remember taking a creative writing course, and we asked the question, well, how do you develop a plot line? Well, you start with character. You invent a person. You give that person characteristics. And the plot becomes whatever that person with those characteristics would do when you stick them in that situation. The plot becomes what characters do. We are characters in a drama. We have many roles that we play throughout the course of the day. Professional, parent, spouse, take your pick. All of those roles have expectations. And what's more important than the outcome of an incident is staying in character. The sixth inning of their game against the Minnesota Twins yesterday, the Cubs were down 9-0. And the question becomes, how do you work and continue to play in a game that is inevitably lost? This is a time to be a pro, to continue running out the ground balls, to continue chasing the pop-up, to continue to try to make contact and make something happen. They lost 11-3. But they stayed in character. And that's the crucial point. What gives us the wit, the will, and the energy to say, well, one more time, who will be you if you choose not to be? There is no one on earth better at being, say your name here, than you. Stay in character. Continue to be, and the outcome will be what it is. But at the end of the day, you will find, again, the strength to say, how much longer? Well, one more time, I will continue to be me. Of course, the good news beyond good is that Jesus answered that question himself. It was a rhetorical question in that particular passage. How much longer will I put up with you? Well, I'll put up with you long enough to go to the cross and come out of the tomb. And then, once you know that story, you can say to yourself as you learn from your mistakes, as you hope against hope, as you continue to be the person you were called to be, one more time. The story is told of a family event pending, a celebration, a family event, a dinner to honor the brand new fiancé and her grandparents of the couple's firstborn son. And the firstborn son requested at dinner the traditional stewed chicken that mom and grandma and great-grandma have always made. This is the meal that we have when we celebrate, stewed chicken. Everybody's got one like that. It isn't always that, but okay. So the preparations are made, the pot is filled, and the other details are tended to. And an hour later, we come back and notice somebody forgot to plug the pot in. And they're going to be here in 45 minutes. Well, life lessons kick in. Somebody grabs a frying pan, some oil, some salt, and some flour, and they take care of business. Not stewed chicken, but the moral of the story, if at first you don't fricassee, fry a hen. One more time. Amen.